So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your holy name. You are here, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are here in this place.
Yes, Lord.
We can feel your presence, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Already here.
Oh, glory.
All we have to do, hallelujah, is to open up our hearts. For God, you're already here. And Father, as you speak in and through me today, speak a word to my brother. Speak a word to my sister. Speak a word to every man, woman, boy, and girl. A word of life. For you said, Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Father, we declare every dead thing and every dying thing in our life to live again by the power of your spoken word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Now let's put our hands together, beloved ones. And let's bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you once again. Beloved ones, and once again we declare that this is the day that the Lord has made. And what are we going to do in it, beloved ones? What are we going to do in it, beloved ones? Yes, we will rejoice. Hallelujah. And we will be glad in it, according to Psalms 118, verse 24. And as you turn to the word that was read so beautifully today, God bless you, Sister Marie. As you turn to St. Luke chapter 15, 13 and onwards, I just want to welcome each and every one of you to our church here in Bethel, Cardiff. It is the Lord's church. Let's say that together. It is the Lord's church. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ lives. And he presides here. And I greet the Holy Spirit, who's certainly in this place, to our district bishop and first lady, Bishop Lance Dinnell and Lady Genevieve Little, and to my precious husband, Minister Mike. Will you put your hands together with me for Minister Mike? Thank God for you, Minister Mike. Amen. And to all the precious officers and saints of Bethel, and to our young people, and to our children. And beloved, I'm so glad that the door is open today, because this word is not only going to each of us in the sanctuary, but we declare it into the community in Cardiff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the word today, the title of the word today is life-changing decisions. Can you say that with me, beloved ones?
Life-changing
decisions. Life-changing decisions. We started talking about this very important topic on Wednesday, beloved. In our Word in Action Bible study. And people shared their examples of life-changing decisions. Some were because they got married, life-changing decision. Others made a decision to have children. Others made a decision to go to a specific school. That was me. Others, however, beloved ones, made a decision, wait for it, to be baptized in Jesus' name. And someone else made a decision to be determined to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That person recognized that it takes determination to reach your goal.
Yes.
Now, beloved ones, I'm sure that if you reflect on your life, of all the decisions you've made, you'll know that there are good decisions and not so good decisions. And today, beloved, we've come to speak to you about good life-changing decisions. Listen to this, beloved ones. If you are determined to make a fundamental change in your life, then there will be a fundamental shift.
Yes, that's right.
Let me say that again, beloved ones. If you are determined to make a fundamental change in your life, then there will be a fundamental shift. This is the first Sunday in October 2024, beloved. It's the beginning of the last quarter of this current year. And looking back through the year, I'm sure that each and every one of us can reflect on decisions we've made. But right now, God is saying, I want you to think about a decision that I want you to make right now. And it's a life-changing decision. You see, beloved ones, this decision will change your life for the better. Hallelujah. So please turn with me to the scripture that was read. Hallelujah. St. Luke chapter 15. Hallelujah. St. Luke chapter 15, beloved. And this account is an important account, beloved, talking about things being lost and found.
Yes.
And Jesus is telling a paragraph in this, a parable in this scripture. A parable being a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Say that again. This is a parable, which is a earthly story, things that we can relate to, but a heavenly meaning, because Jesus is using this account to speak to each and every one of us. I'm reading from verse 11, the scripture, the word of the Lord says this, and Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. Can you say that with me? Two sons. How many sons were there, beloved? Two sons. They weren't twins, so there was a younger and there was an elder son. And the younger of them said to his father, 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 give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And beloved ones, I'm going to stop right there.
Yes.
This younger son was asking for his inheritance. Ahead of time, Minister Mike. Because inheritance are passed on, and inheritance is passed on when the person who is giving the inheritance pass away. So by the son saying to his father, give me my inheritance now, he's saying, Dad, you're dead to me. Dad, I don't want to wait till you go. You're dead to me. Give me what's mine now. And as a father and a mother, beloved ones, I don't know what you would have done, but the word of God said that this dad divided unto him his portion. And now we're talking about life-changing decisions, beloved. And I think we can all agree that this was a bad decision. To ask for is inheritance. Why was it a bad decision, beloved? Because he didn't go away to invest. He didn't use it to bless other people. He didn't use it to sow into the kingdom. But the word of God said that he took his journey into a far country, far from his father's house, far from the father's love, far from the father's compassion. And when he was far out of sight, there he wasted his substance with riotous living. We read later on that there are harlots involved. And without a doubt, there would have been friends there helping him to spend his inheritance. Beloved ones, he wasted his substance. Without a doubt, this was a bad, life-changing decision. He asked for his inheritance. He left his father's house, and he spent it all. And beloved ones, when it was all gone, my God, he didn't see this coming. There was a famine in the land. No food, beloved. And drinks, water was in scarcity. And there was no money for him to travel and get what he needed. So he tried to take himself out of the situation by making of it as good as he could. Have you ever found yourself, beloved, out of place, out of position, out of seemingly God's purpose, and yet you try and make of it the best that you can? He went to someone and said, I need a job. And the man said, well, my pigs need feeding. Beloved ones, pigs. We're talking about a Jewish boy feeding pigs. Jews don't associate themselves with swine. That's an unclean situation to be in. But can you believe, beloved, he reached rock bottom. Have you ever reached rock bottom? When you seem to be all out of ways forward, all out of solutions. Rock bottom. When he looked at the pig's food, my God, and it looked good to him, but he wasn't even allowed to eat of the pig's food. Rock bottom, beloved. No funds, no friends, no family. Rock bottom. But I've come to tell you today, beloved, that God knows how to deal with rock bottom situations. Yes. In fact, he's an expert at rock bottom situations. So, beloved, listen to this. Life-changing decisions often push us into making life-changing statements. So this is what this young man said, and we can read it in verse 18. Let's read it together. He's at rock bottom now, beloved. Let's find it in Luke 15, verse 18. where this young man makes a life-changing statement. Have you found it, beloved? Have you found it? Let's read together. This young man says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Let's go on. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Demote me, Father, and make me into one of your hired servants. He made a bad life-changing decision, which drove him to make a good life-changing statement. Why? Because he's come to rock bottom and he knows that it's time for a change. Anyone in the house know that there's time for a change, that it's never too late? The God that we serve, he's a God of mercy and he's a God of love. And if you know how to get down onto your knees and pray, if you know how to turn from your wicked ways, if you know how to say, I've made a mistake, then God will forgive. The word of God put it this way: if my people who are called by my name, if they humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God said he will hear from heaven, he will forgive their sins, and he will heal their land. Beloved, I've come to tell you that our God is a God that hears from heaven. He's a God who knows how to forgive our sins. And he's a God who knows how to heal our lands. And if you know it's true, put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. Life-changing statements, beloved, lead to life-changing actions. He said what he would do. He said that he would arise. He said that he would go to his father. And he said that I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned before you. In other words, he made a statement of repentance. Now, beloved, you and I know it's one thing to say something, but it's quite something else to follow through with it. Follow through. But the word of God said that the young man arose and he returned home. In other words, the young man repented. It takes courage to repent, beloved. It takes courage for us to admit that we're wrong. Yeah. It takes courage to admit that we walked down the wrong road. It takes courage to turn from our wicked ways and to turn to God. And I've come to tell you today that it's never too late to repent. Doesn't matter how far down the road you've gone. Doesn't matter how bad things seem. Doesn't matter how impossible things seem. If you arise, if you return to the Father, if you seek forgiveness, if you turn to God, he will forgive you. For God so loved the world, beloved, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. He engaged in the life-changing action. He followed through. Beloved, it's good to have a good thought, but it's time to follow through. For we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. That means that we have to follow through. We may not see it, beloved. We may not understand it. We may wonder what's in our future, but God is saying, yes, it's time to follow through. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but the Holy Ghost is saying, it's one thing to say that I will arise. It's one thing to say that I'm going to go to my Father. But the Holy Ghost is saying you need to do the next step. You have to follow through. And listen to this, beloved, your life-changing actions will evoke life-changing actions in other people. It's like a ricochet. It's like a stack of dominoes. One moves and it flips the other and it flips the other. Your life-changing action, beloved, will change your family. It will change your community. It will change your world. Listen to the life-changing actions that the Father showed. Number one, he gave the young man his portion. He knew that it would do him no good, but he gave him his portion with sadness. But thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
He received his young man home with gladness. He gave him his portion with sadness, but he received his young man home with gladness. Beloved, the word of God said that weeping may endure for a night. It may endure for a long time. The night may seem dark and it may seem long, but the word of God said joy is coming. If you believe the word, lift your hands with me and say, joy is coming. Joy is coming. Yes, yes, yes. Joy is coming because of life-changing actions. The Father did this. Number one, he had compassion. Beloved ones, we must have compassion on each other. We must be prepared to forgive one another. You might make me sad and I might make you sad, but we must have compassion on each other. The Father knew that his son had done not a good thing, but he had compassion. The word of God said when he saw him on the horizon, a great way off, it sounded like day by day, he would go to the window and he'd be looking towards the horizon for his son. And day by day, he was looking, but he couldn't see him. But can you imagine the joy, beloved, when one day, one sweet day, beloved, he looked and he saw his son. The word of God said he couldn't wait till the son got to the house. But he got up, beloved, and they used to wear long skirts like this. And I can imagine that he pulled up the skirts of his garment and he ran to meet his son. He ran with gladness. He ran with compassion. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him.
Hallelujah.
That means that despite the fact that he wandered so far away, his father, a man of compassion, forgave him. Beloved, despite how far we might wander on our journey, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, but when we're not fully connected and fully committed and fully submission, showing submission to God, then it's possible to stray from the pathway of truth. And the son said, he could have hugged his dad and he could have said, well, I don't need to say what I was going to say, because I can see that dad already has forgiven me. But beloved, you remember I talked about the importance of following through. The importance of following through. The son said what he said he was going to say. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Beloved ones, that life-changing statement signified a repenting heart. Hallelujah. And it led to the father's life-changing action of forgiveness and restoration. Our life-changing decisions lead to life-changing statements, which lead to life-changing actions, which leads to repentance and restoration. We all need repentance in this house. We all need the mercies of God. The word of God said all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word of God said that our robes are, oh my gosh, our robes are just like filthy rags. What we call robes of righteousness are like filthy rags before him. That's why we need to daily repent. That's why we need to daily say, Father, Father, if I have sinned against heaven, and if I've sinned against you, Father, forgive me. And this is what happened, beloved. Father said, bring the best robe. The robe signified righteousness. He said, put it on him. And whilst you're doing that, whilst you're giving him a covering, he's going to need the ring. Put the ring on my son's hand, because the ring indicates that he's royalty. The ring indicates authority. And watch this, beloved. He said, put shoes on his feet. I'm pretty sure that when that young man left his home, he had shoes on his feet. But sin's got a way of stripping us, beloved. Sin's got a way of making us naked. Sin's got a way of turning our minds away from God. And the father said, he's got no shoes on. Put his shoes on. He needs his robe for his covering. He needs his ring for his authority. That signifies his identity, his authority in the kingdom. And his shoes, the shoes are for influence, beloved. His shoes, when he wears them, are to remind others, this is the way to go. This is the path of righteousness. walk therein. That path over there will lead to no good. But follow these shoes. Follow these shoes. And you'll never go astray. Will you stand with me, beloved? Will you stand with me? We're talking about life-changing decisions.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Footsteps of Jesus.
Oh, glory.
Leading the way.
Yes.
Footsteps of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
By night and by day.
Yes, Lord.
Surely, if I follow,
yes,
life will be sweet.
Hallelujah.
Saved by the Prince. Of his wounded feet. Will you bow your head and pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, this day, thank you for this word that you sent today. A word, Lord, to deal with our decisions. A word to alert us that there are good decisions and that there are bad decisions. But this word tells us, Lord, that if we arise, and if we go to our Father's house, and if we follow through on the things that we say we will, then if we repent in Jesus' name, then restoration will come. Thank you for restoration, Lord. Your eyes is running through this congregation right now. You know what each and every one of us need. And as we hide this word in our heart today, we pray, Lord, that we will not sin against you. Father, it is in Jesus' name we pray. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And let all God's people say, let all God's people say, let all God's people say, amen and amen. It is so. Hallelujah. The altar is open, beloved ones, and I want to speak to everyone in this place. And like I said, to the community that we serve here in Cardiff. If you've not given your life to the Lord, then come.
Hallelujah.
It means that you need to repent.
Hallelujah.
That means death to self and sin.
Hallelujah.
Not yet baptized in Jesus' name?
Hallelujah.
Then you need to come.
Hallelujah.
Because it means you need to be buried with him.
Hallelujah.
In baptism. Not yet filled with
Hallelujah.
The precious Holy Spirit,
Hallelujah.
Then come, because it's the Holy Spirit that causes us
Hallelujah.
To be resurrected
Hallelujah.
In newness of life. We need the death, we need the burial, we need the resurrection
Hallelujah.
To receive complete newness of life. Mind, body, heart, spirit.
Hallelujah.
Will you come today? Will you come?
Hallelujah.
Will you make a life-changing
Hallelujah.
Decision?
Hallelujah.
And will you come?
Hallelujah.
A life-changing decision to change your life for the better. God bless you in Jesus' name.